Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information on the news and links to the topics that we discuss in the show, go to our website at geekson.com.
Welcome to Geeks On.
Welcome, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Geeks On.
Hello, my geeklings.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Aaron Hendricks. I am a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
Hi, I am Peter Robinson. I am a writer geek here in Los Angeles.
How you doing? I'm Matt Yanking. I am an actor geek here in Los Angeles.
And I'm Donald Marshall, a video game professional and writer in Hollywood, not Los Angeles. It's a different city entirely.
No, it's not.
Shut up.
Okay.
Welcome to Geeks On, everybody. How was
Welcome
everybody's
back.
Geek week?
Well, I can't say the name of the game because I'm under non-disclosure, but I'm the voice of a new fighting game guy.
Yay!
You're the
that was
king
insincere.
Father of I Love Katamari.
Yes.
With the big package.
Yes. The gigantic Excellent. Package.
He's Excellent. Actually the new Ooh La La. And if anyone knows that reference, please write me.
And we had to close our window of our
Aaron.
Studio.
Yes, and Aaron almost fell on his face.
Just almost tanked it.
Yeah, you think we'd have automatic windows in our multi-million dollar recording studio.
You
here.
Think.
I know.
Yeah, in his safe house.
I'm shocked.
Did you guys read our review that we got?
Yeah, it was a great review.
It was a rockin' review.
It was a great review.
We had
I'm
first
a little
review.
Resentful that everyone gets to be smart except for me. I get to be opinionated.
I wasn't smart.
I'm easily exacerbated.
I thought the only one who was smart was Peter.
Yeah, Peter's the only smart one.
No, he was the
here.
Intellectual one. Everyone else had sort of an intellectual inference.
Oh.
You well, come the, on, Don.
I had the insightful wit, I think.
Yeah, I had the insightful
Aaron
wit.
Aaron was a nerd, which we all know is a smart.
Right, that's
now, what did I get out of this entire group? Come on, people.
Out of this entire group, you are the nerd.
Oh. I hate that review.
We're all geeks, but you're the nerd.
Should we post a link of that review? Or
I think it's on our forum.
It's on our forum.
Yeah.
You know, like people want to read.
Go to our forum.
Yeah.
No, read
this
out.
Is how
great
cool
we are.
Now,
we are.
You know, if we get worked up over a good review, that means you have to get worked up over a bad review.
Oh, yeah,
so
I will.
All right. So if
like,
a bad
these...
one comes, you got to take that one, too.
Yeah, Matt and I are both actors. We know what it's like to bleed inside with every single bad review you get.
As long as it's not as bad as the review for Congo. That's my favorite bad review of all time. Tim Curry said, this movie is as bad as Tim Curry's accent. That's just genius to me, to insult somebody, insult the actor in one sentence.
The reviews for the last Exorcist movie were pretty funny. One of them was... just good enough to leave a stain on the screen.
Oh!
And, what was the other one? Oh, no, that was the Predator versus Alien one. It was like, imagine the worst sequel you could possibly imagine for any movie, and then imagine something worse.
Actually, speaking of the Exorcist, this is a bit of a tangent. I'm really pissed that I missed Exorcist Dominion. Did anyone catch what was here?
The edited version of the
original
film.
Yeah,
film.
The original prequel to The Exorcist. Basically, what I've heard is the studios that made The Exorcist The Beginning.
Oh, right.
Right? They hired another director to go out and make an actual prequel.
Yeah, it was...
I didn't know this at all.
Hoo-ha? Can't remember his name.
Some Swiss guy, I think, or Swedish or Norwegian.
They're all the same.
Crazy blonde people. Anyway... he comes back.
A decent filmmaker.
Yeah, a real filmmaker. He comes back. He hands them a film that apparently has a lot more kind of character development, plot, storyline, and imagination.
Slower.
Yeah, but it's not an action movie. Mm. You know, it's not blood, gore, flying demons all over the screen.
So they made a good choice in scrapping it. That makes sense.
Yeah, they scrapped his movie and they salvaged what they could from it and made Exorcist The Beginning.
With most of the same actors and everything. They just filmed an entirely new script. Now, you know, I heard some of the reviews.
Got slammed.
The reviews were that the other one wasn't much better. It was better, it wasn't a great movie.
It wasn't like worlds better.
It got good. I think the review I read said it got a good receive at cons.
I think it's coming out on DVD.
Okay.
We'll have to watch it.
Yeah. I haven't seen the other one. I really was looking forward to it.
I actually like Exorcist 3. I thought that was a great movie.
I enjoyed that too.
Really?
Yeah.
If you want to watch the beginning, I'm so up for it. Because I totally
want to
see
it. I hear it's horrible, but I'll rent it.
Okay, I'm there with you. Okay.
Wait. Is Exorcist 3 the one where the priest comes back?
Yeah.
That's it's actually James Earl Jones.
It's not that bad, actually.
No.
Isn't that, it's in Africa with the...
No, that's number two.
That's two. That's horrible.
What?
Oh, okay, then I haven't seen three.
With the flies everywhere?
Yeah.
That's
no, with the... No, with the... Not Garcia. What the hell's his name? Gabriel Byrne? Or am I totally crossing
that's a
everything?
Completely different movie.
Wait, the one in the desert where like...
Gabriel Byrne was in End of Days with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's not the one I'm thinking of.
He was also one with What's Her Face.
Oh, yes, it is.
Wasn't he in Stigmata?
He might have been in Stigmata.
Yeah, he was in Stigmata.
Maybe you're confusing.
That's not what I'm thinking of. All right, I have to watch Exorcist 3 again.
Exorcist 3 is good.
Species? Are you thinking of Species? I don't know.
Stop.
Species 3?
This is what we... Okay, everybody, low blank stare at Matt.
I feel funny.
Okay.
All right, good.
All right. Let's do some geek news.
Geek news.
Let's get it out. Let me start this time. Me.
Ooh. Aaron?
Well, I would like to talk to you about the new Star Wars series. Since we're done with movies...
Really?
Let's try to
fuck up another medium.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, come on. He can't direct all of them.
No, but he's... Never mind. Aaron will tell you.
Apparently, the producer or co-producer of Star Wars The Revenge of the Sith, Rick McCollum,
I guess that's how you pronounce it,
he revealed some details of the Star Wars TV series at a press conference in Japan.
Yeah, wasn't it like the smallest Japanese newspaper in the history of creation?
Yeah, I don't...
He's like, this will get out.
It's the Japanese talent news.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why.
It's Weekly World,
he's
Weekly
deliberately
World.
Trying to
Jeff
hide
Jeff Gunn-san reporting.
I don't know if this is really is legit or if this guy really knows or if it's going to change before then. I really hope it does because here's their concept for the new television show.
Spill the beans already, man.
The story will take place about 20 years span between episodes 3 and 4.
This is Aaron's voice of a scroll.
Right.
Like Star Wars.
It will depict how characters end up being together, in quotes. I don't know what that means.
It's going to show
like
Chewbacca and Han Solo
how Luke,
up.
It will depict how Luke grew up.
Yeah.
So like it's Smallville in Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. Really? Because I understood that it was going to handle all sorts of other characters, but not any of the main characters.
I don't know.
No.
That's what this guy said.
Yeah.
Now, he could be wrong, really. I mean, he may not be on a...
What I heard about it was that Lucas was going to write the first season and then give it to showrunners.
Well, they...
What I heard was that Lucas has his head up his ass and has no touch with reality.
An ass hat. My new name. My new word. Ass hat.
He said the whole series will be about 100 hours long. I don't know what that means either.
What the hell?
No, what that means is that the new series is going to have 100 episodes. Which means it's just long enough to go into syndication, which means that's where all the big money's made.
That's true.
So
that is very true.
101 hour episodes.
Right, yeah. But you know, everyone tries to get hit the five year mark so they can do that. It's
well,
like,
yeah, yes, but not everyone has George Lucas and Star Wars behind them.
Yeah,
he can basically go into any contract with any production company and say, "I want a guarantee 5 year run."
Yeah.
Period.
I don't think
he
could do that.
I think
yes,
he could
he
do
can.
It.
I bet
don't
he
think
would.
He could do
I
that.
I bet.
Lucas could shoot the entire film himself. He's rich enough to do that.
But he's not doing that.
No, he doesn't like spending his own money anymore.
I don't think anybody would take that deal. They barely made the Indiana Jones movie because they can't. Steven Spielberg and George Lucas can't get the studios to agree.
As long as they get the rights to the Star Wars franchise without him.
I don't know. We'll see.
That's because Spielberg takes 50% of every movie he makes.
Yeah.
Okay. First dollar gross.
So
if you were...
If somebody wanted to hand a studio $500 million free money...
Okay, wait. So 50% is what Spielberg takes.
Yeah.
So then Lucas, what is Lucas taking on top of that?
Right. I guarantee
okay.
you...
So then if, say, Lucas is taking 25%. Right, and now you've got the studio putting up all the money, even at $500 million. Are they making their money back at all? That's
no.
a problem.
Oh, I guarantee you that the studios will be.
This
making
has been done once
money.
Before. Babylon 5 did the same idea. They had a 5 year pre-rendered script.
Plan.
And
but
they,
if that thing
they
sucked.
Had an agreement with the studio. The twist with them, though, was the originator, J. Michael Straczynski, had an agreement where he'd get no royalties.
No royalties?
So he gets nothing.
Got it.
From the billions of sales of DVDs and stuff.
All right, well, quickly, George Lucas says he'll start working on the season as soon as he finishes Indiana Jones. He also mentioned that a 3D version of all six of the Star Wars movies will be within 2 to 3 years.
Mm.
Great.
Is there anything about Matt King being in the series? Or?
No. I didn't read that. So anyway, that's my first news story. What about you there?
Peter?
Well, let's see. I have an article about keyword searches. There's a project called...
Ooh, I'm so excited. I'm trembling.
Ooh,
I wish all of you could see the look Peter just gave me.
Slammed, party one. Yeah, okay. So I think I'm done now. Matt, why don't you go?
No, you go. Yeah, what's your exciting story?
I have a thing on a pregnant woman who...
I'm going to go. Okay. So anyway... we all know the problems we have when we go and we go to Google, we type in a couple keyword words to search for something, and you know, we get 5 billion things that have nothing to do with what we're looking for.
Porn.
You
know? Usually having to do with farm girls and horses.
Yeah, it's very bizarre how that happens so often.
Well, stop typing in farm girls and horses. That means...
Yeah, and simple. Never gets taken, and the stuff like that.
Ironically, yeah. If I do a search for Viagra, that's what I get. If I do a search for farm girls plus horses, I get house mortgages. I don't know how that happens.
Me neither. So, the federal government is putting money into something called the ACQUAINT Project, which stands for Advanced Question Answering for Intelligence. And basically what this is supposed to do is, instead of typing in, you know, keywords, you type in something like... Well, this is how the government would use it. You know, did any potential terrorist just buy an airplane ticket? Real broad, but it understands what you're looking for, and it has the ability to filter out the stuff that you're not looking for.
Wow.
It actually understands your questions, understands the information it's finding, and is able to... Now, this is just
That's
a
like AI.
Well, wait. This is...
Early stages development.
Yeah, I mean, this is them claiming that that's the target they want to hit.
Right. They haven't hit it yet. This is just what they're working on.
I mean,
right.
That's what Boolean logic is supposed to work that way, too. You just type a couple words, and you can miraculously get what you want. Or Ask Jeeves, really.
Yeah, Ask Jeeves is trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, and
but, you know,
so much.
It's still basically, Ask Jeeves is still basically a...
Boolean logic.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So this is supposed to be just a little smarter and actually find the stuff that you're looking for. You can actually Yeah. So, you know, obviously we're not going to see this right away, but it's very exciting to know that that's coming along the way, because coming down the pipeline, because as the web is getting bigger and bigger, it is harder and harder to find things. You know,
I just wish the government wasn't involved with it. I just don't think they're going to come up. I think that by the time they come up with that, there'll probably be two other things that will have already been released that
and will be far better.
It's probably true.
Okay. By the time that gets out, we're going to have, you know, something.
But at least it'll be
true.
Well, maybe that's true, but, you know, that's great.
At least they're working on it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you know, we've got two competing forces. We've got the government working on it for their, you know, find terrorists type thing, you know, and we've got the private sector working on it, you know, so that it'll get here twice as fast that
it's
way.
It's like the rebellion versus the empire.
No, not really.
Oh.
But different.
Okay.
So, now it's your turn,
Pregnant
Matt.
Women from Matt.
Excellent. Yes.
Pregnant women from Matt.
Sounds like a Jack Handy thing from Saturday Night Live. So, woman named Susan Torres in Arlington, Virginia.
I live there.
She's dead.
I know her.
Dole.
Really?
Yeah, intimately.
Okay. Wow. No. Because she's dead.
Yeah, go on.
Okay. Oh. But she basically had advanced stage cancer, and the melanoma reached her brain, and she died. However, she is 21 weeks pregnant, and she is now being kept alive in order to give birth to the fetus.
Really? Oh, my God.
And we will see whether or not she can actually hold on for another 5 weeks, they think, until they can actually bring the fetus into the world.
So now, she was alive and conscious when she got pregnant, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's kind of, my heart jumped when you mentioned the topic.
Yeah, we thought that she was in a coma and someone knocked her up.
Somebody knocked her up? No,
yeah,
no, no, no.
I thought, I was like, oh,
no,
God.
She is brain dead at this point.
But she was everything was kosher before that. And yeah. Just, okay.
What will be interesting is to see whether or not the fetus suffers, you know, whether or not it can be, whether or not the fetus will be brain dead when it is born and everything like that. The husband, Jason Torres, I mean, she's been in since May 7th, so this is still ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
He said this is what she would have wanted.
Right.
He says, and this was such a weird sentence for me. He said, I hate using her as a husk, a carrying case, because she herself is worth so much more.
Yeah,
but
he could have searched for a different word.
Yeah,
maybe.
He could have put something better than carrying case. But he said Susan really wanted this baby.
You don't want to call your dead wife a breeding tube.
Sorry, that's
tube,
just
though,
so
you
know? Disgusting.
Well, I probably wouldn't have used the term breeding tube either.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, but that's where it is, and we'll see in a few weeks whether or not she actually gives birth to a live baby, and whether or not the fact that the mother's brain is not communicating with the child on some level is
and you're
going to
know that when
the baby's
born.
I don't know.
They'll know if the baby's acting, you know, baby's moving, huh? Baby's moving, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. What I want to know, isn't there a thing in like the birth of the Antichrist that had the baby has to be born of a dead mother?
I don't know. I thought it was a jackal.
I don't know. Okay.
In the Omen, I could never figure that part out in the movie. There's a dead body in the grave, but it's a jackal. But was he born from a jackal, or was he... I could never figure that part out.
He was not born from the mother, because they killed the mother. That's why there was the baby with the cracked skull. So he was born maybe from the dog, or, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I couldn't figure... You know, I got to watch that again. I've watched it a million times. All right, sorry, Don.
It's all good. A couple weeks back, I brought a news story about robots working in hospitals. Improving living there and making things better.
These are the blood-sucking ones that reproduce and dance with you?
Not quite yet.
This is the one that scares the living shit out of patients in the middle of the night when they try to inject them.
You ain't heard the beginning yet. Well, we have a little follow-up on that from a news article entitled Robots Run Amok at Hospital.
That was like less than a month ago. It took less than a month for them to rebel. I mean, come on.
Oh, you know, it's a little ahead of the timetable, but Skynet will be up and running any minute now. The San Francisco Chronicle reports that Waldo, a robot that delivers medicines at the University of California San Francisco Medical Center...
Now, where is Waldo? Where is Waldo?
No one knows. He's on the run. Unfortunately, the story itself is not nearly as spectacular as the opening paragraph or the headline. Basically, the robot did go amok. It just... started going in a direction and didn't stop. I went into an operating room where there was a doctor and a patient who were not operating, but they were discussing something and wouldn't respond to any voice commands as it continued just running amok throughout the room, knocking crap over. So they had to evacuate the doctor and the patient. And
They didn't just go over and turn it off. They had to evacuate.
They left the room, and they left the robot running amok until the technician could come.
They may not have known where the off switch was.
Exactly.
It's always at the base of the neck.
That's true.
I mean, come on, people.
So, I wonder what this thing looks like. I'm very curious.
Same model as the one that I brought in. The model I brought in basically looked like, do you remember the
a little
robot
box
made
wheels.
From the Jetsons?
Right. Yeah.
It looks kind of like that, but instead of the
like Rosie.
The head, it had a monitor in the chest where you could see the doctor's head looking at you and talking at you.
Oh, jeez. Oh. Yeah. Like RoboCop 3.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, just like RoboCop 3.
Kane.
You actually saw that movie?
Oh, I love RoboCop 3, just purely for the giggle fest that it is.
Oh, wait, no, it was RoboCop 2.
Was it 2?
Yeah.
It's 2,
you're right. The 3 was the one I didn't see, where he was like flying around with jetpacks or something. Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
That's the one where they killed his partner right in the beginning, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In 3?
Yeah, in 3.
The chick?
Yeah, the chick. Dies right at the beginning of 3.
Because she didn't want to do another movie.
She was probably like, this is ass, and...
this is a bad movie.
What's Peter
Weller
a part of? Weller wasn't even in it, right?
Yeah, he got out.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. She got out, too.
Freeze, or there will be trouble.
And the first one's so good.
First one's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard the unedited version is really violent.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be his Christ movie. It's all about well, it is. He walks on water.
Okay, fine. all right. This is an article about privacy, a piece of technology that helps with privacy. Apparently,
it's called a curtain, people. Use it.
Well, that's the thing, is that in the past, people have been trying to develop technology for to help with privacy, to mask the conversation that you are trying to keep private. For example, you build speakers that make waves that are the opposite sound waves that are coming out of your mouth, so it cancels them out, canceling technology. Or you put up special walls that absorb sound, or all these ways to... But it's just not working. Like, they just can't do it right. So that
I like force fields.
These other guys have developed technology called Babbel. And Babbel technology, what it does is it takes the conversation out of you that it's listening to and sends it through an algorithm that scrambles it and sends it out. So that it has a field. So anybody within the field can have a normal conversation, for example, a meeting room. Mm-hmm. Anybody outside of the field hears Babbel. It's not masking, it's actually confusing the conversation. That's smart. Can actually work into cell phones, apparently, where if the person you're talking to hears you very clearly, but anybody else just hears this weird babble.
Have you ever gotten your phone lines crossed?
Have
you ever gotten your phone lines crossed with somebody else?
Yeah, like in 1950.
No, I mean, I've gotten it, have it happen recently? With my cell phone. And I just can't wait to get somebody's babble. What the hell is this?
It's working, and they're installing the type of things into meeting rooms and stuff right now, and they're looking into trying to work it into cell phone technology. We'll see.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, exposing my geekiness to a whole new level.
Whoa, Don, put that back.
Sorry. Has anyone else noticed that a lot of these privacy technologies seem to be becoming more and more like Dungeons and Dragons spells?
Yeah.
Like globe of silence, 15-foot radius.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Well, what is the Arthur C. Clarke quote? That if technology reaches a suitably superior level, it is indistinguishable from magic?
Yeah. Mm.
You can do magic.
Sing it.
You can have Peter.
Okay, we just lost half our viewership again.
So, not the most exciting news story ever, but the Queen bought an Apple iPod, and I just thought that was very interesting.
The iPod is officially not cool.
Yes,
now
it's this comes from the very well respected publication, The Inquirer. So
I would love to know what's on the Queen of England's iPod playlist.
I would too, man.
I get knocked down and I get up again.
They're gonna get me down.
It's got that what's that song that plays behind that?
Ode to Joy?
Is that Ode to Joy?
That's not Ode to Joy.
No. It plays in the background of that
Ode
song.
Ode to Joy is...
Oh, you're right. If anybody knows that, please write in.
Yes, exactly.
GeeksOn.com.
Now that we've annoyed kind of everyone with our
I
humming.
I am kind of picturing the Queen of England listening to Relax.
Relax, don't do it.
I'm a little
Do you know what's on her iPod?
She's got like two
That's it. It's
two
the Queen's got an iPod.
Yeah, that's my whole article.
She's listening to Peaches. Ooh, the Peaches of Peaches.
Okay. We need to edit out all of that that we just did.
Definitely.
You do know that
all of it needs to be gone.
George Bush has an iPod too and has released his playlist.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's because his playlist got released, and then he went, you know what? Here's the whole list. If you're really that interested.
I'm kind of curious to know what he
It's very interesting. It's a lot of Journey and, like, strange things.
Don't stop.
Wow.
So, Daniel Tammet has autism. He's a severe autistic. He's a la Rain Man. He can basically reel off pi to 22,500 decimal places in about 5 hours.
So he's also a savant.
Yeah, he's also a severe savant. He can learn any language in 7 days, any language. He learned Icelandic in 7 days, which is considered like...
He's like C-3PO.
Yeah, he totally is like C-3PO. Human cyborg relations. And basically he...
Oh! Asteroid!
But basically he is a severe autism. He has a combination of autism and synesthesia.
Synesthesia,
which means... It basically means that you can see high-level concepts as shapes and images. So rather than just math, he sees math as shapes and hills and valleys, and he can interpret math
like
that way.
Like that boy in that Bruce Lee movie, where he decodes things by just looking at them.
In a Bruce Lee movie?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Bruce Willis movie.
Okay.
Oh. little difference.
One, do not look at the finger.
Enter the Dragon is not Mercury Rising.
Yeah.
You guys looked at me like so I was like,
I changed into something.
I was like, what?
That's not. Well, I'm thinking like, do not look at the finger, you stupid little. Stop doing math. You know, I'm wondering. No, okay.
Bruce Willis movie,
right?
Sorry.
Right. So, basically, he's got this severe level of autism, but he's worked his way out.
Mm-hmm.
He can now actually communicate. On literally a non-retarded level, basically, where he is fully communicable with other people.
Did he keep all the genius stuff?
Yes. And he can walk.
Cool.
He can walk. No, he can't do certain things. Like, he can't go to a beach near his house.
Oh, shucks.
Because...
We worked it all out, but you can't go to any beaches.
Oh, shit, doctor! I'm still a genius, but damn, I'll never get a tan.
Okay, so no, why can't he go to the beach?
He can't go to the beach because it's got too many grains of sand. And he actually... It makes him freak out.
What about bladed grass?
He can't do that either.
Leaves on the tree?
Yeah, it bugs
him
out.
So he's just as fucked as he always has.
Well, no, but he can communicate. He can block things out. He can talk. He can tell us what autism feels like. He can describe the whole experience. He talks... Basically, the way he describes it, he's like one of those... you know the saying that a caterpillar wouldn't be able to move if it knew every muscle that it was moving?
Mm-hmm.
He knows every muscle that he's moving. Right. So he had to teach himself to walk. He had to teach himself to move his arms. He had to teach himself everything. And he's actually managed to do it and dig his way out.
So it sounds like he's aware of parts of his brain that we normally just have
on autopilot. Yeah.
Like walking or observing blades of grass. We actually see every blade of grass when we're walking by.
But
we don't
them.
Notice it. We just blend it together. He has to notice every aspect of every... That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
I know this is weird, but have you ever put on a pair of amber vision glasses as described in TV?
No.
You know, like blue blockers?
I think they're similar, but
I have put on
blue
blockers.
I've only had this experience with amber vision glasses.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Like a couple years back, they're advertising the hell out of these things.
Yeah.
They say it blocked all these different rays. I tried one on at a swap meet in the country one time, right? I put them on. I looked at a tree, and I had the strangest experience I've ever had of looking at that tree and really, honestly, for the first time in my life, being able to pick out each and every individual leaf on that tree.
Wow.
You don't own contacts, do you?
No.
Before I actually went and got glasses, I thought I could see just fine because it took me 14 or 15 years to slowly get vision that I had. It was just very slow.
Right. Decline.
Experience.
So I did not know what I was missing until I got my first pair of glasses.
So I'm blind?
Well, no, but... I put them on, and I can remember the exact day, and the first thing that I thought was, oh, my God, you can see every leaf on the tree, on every tree. And I didn't know that you couldn't do that. And I remember driving back. My mom was driving the car, and I'm just looking around, and I just couldn't believe it. I can remember the exact – I can remember the whole trip like was yesterday.
Wow.
That's really
cool. Totally weird.
Wow.
But that's the experience I had with that. I wonder what it would be like to go through – every day of your life like that with everything.
With everything, yeah.
With the grains of sand.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why it bugs him out, because he can't do it. I'm amazed by this guy. Now he teaches, so I want to know, you know.
Okay, I have another news article, but I'm actually going to leave it for one of our discussions.
Are you going to skip Don?
Butt in and use my news article first before you decline to use yours.
Nice, okay. Aaron. Nice.
I'll do that.
This isn't poker,
I'm a person, too. Well, let's see. Toronto... this is an interesting news article. The city of Toronto is up in arms about a new monument in a specific neighborhood in Toronto. That specific neighborhood, however, loves their new monument and doesn't want anything done to it.
Okay.
Long story short, the monument depicts a hero of that neighborhood, who was formerly the landowner of that entire area, driven out of the area in the early 1800s under the cloud of a sex scandal. Okay.
Very interesting.
Now, there are two things you have to understand. The neighborhood in question is the gay neighborhood of Toronto.
Now, when did they erect this monument?
Nice, Harry. Real nice. Nobody will notice that.
You've been sitting on that for a long time, haven't you?
This just comes to me. I'm that fast, man.
It's apparently relatively new. That's okay. All I can give you.
Recently erected.
We just all turned 12. Now, there are two things you have to understand. One is it's the gay neighborhood,
okay.
Right? And two, the statue is of the bare backside of a very well-proportioned young man with an older magistrate kneeling in front of him, reaching out and clearly grabbing hold of something.
What?
Okay. This is depicting the act that got this guy driven out of the city, which was a woman was raped. He was the magistrate in the case.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman said that she managed to scratch the genitals of her attacker. So what he did was he had all of the suspects lined up and told them to drop trow and personally inspected all of their privates looking for the scratch marks. So he was driven out of the city.
He was driven out of the city for doing that?
Yeah. It was judged inappropriate and scandalous for the time period.
Okay. Didn't Michael Jackson have to do that like 6-7 years ago?
I think that he wasn't just standard. Had to do it. I don't
for
know.
For the time period.
Oh, for the time
this
period.
This was 1800s, early 1800s. So apparently the city of Toronto is not so pleased having this big old brass monument of a bare ass hanging out in a major park area. However, the neighborhood's residents are very happy with it. They believe it fits them.
You didn't even know you punned?
I didn't know that I punned.
Come now. Or later.
But here's the thing.
Oops.
The neighborhood is fighting its removal on the premise that it's become a tradition in the neighborhood for people to rub the ass of the statue for good luck.
It's like Buddha,
wait a minute. This has been recently
traditions
put
happen,
up.
Traditions happen very quickly, right. Apparently.
We started a tradition last month, and it's really embedded in our community.
It has become a sort of equal to the Blarney Stone, said Mike McCallan, referring to the prominent buttocks of the bronze illustration. People have been rubbing it for luck.
Okay.
Are there pictures?
There are pictures on the link.
All righty. Can't wait.
You should have printed it out.
Go to geeksOn.com, Peter, and click on links.
That's right.
Okay.
We have bronze ass on geeksOn.com.
Bronze ass.
Bronze ass.
You got anything, Aaron?
I'm done. I'm going to save my news article
Maddie.
For
PDPP?
The topic.
No, I'm done.
Okay. I got from my favorite files of those crazy Chinese people, of which I am one, so cut that out.
Wait, but you did Japanese last time. You're not Japanese.
Right, yeah. Okay, those crazy
Asians.
Those crazy Asians.
We're all alike.
So pirated copies of Star Wars 3 Revenge of the Sith have made it to China. Unfortunately, it's been there by bozos who've basically bought it over. And they can't translate worth a damn. So, first of all, Star Wars Episode 3 Revenge of the Sith has been translated to be Star Wars... Backstroke of the West. And then every single line inside is absolutely just outlandish. There's a scene with Obi-Wan and Anakin where they're having their big, you know, sort of face-off. And one of the lines, I don't know what they translated it from, but it's been translated to, they want to know him at fuck.
Okay, now wait a minute. Now, I saw this picture.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a picture of that.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me why, I think it's fake, explain to me why you would have English subtitles on an English film.
No, English subtitles on a Chinese film. Chinese do three levels of subtitling. On the right-hand side of the screen is usually Mandarin, on the left-hand side of the screen is usually Cantonese.
But that screen right there only
at the bottom they have English.
The way it was explained to me was this in this story, the English subtitles you're reading were the results of translating the movie into Chinese and then back into English.
Maybe.
Why would they do that? It's in English.
I don't know, but I believe that it happens. I believe that's a common practice.
And why would somebody watch a film?
Well, they probably watched it in Chinese and watched the audience go, "What the hell is this
about?" Don't forget, a lot of
the
lines,
it was probably American people who didn't know what was the dumbass.
In a lot of movies, the foreign language is not only translated literally, it's translated content-wise.
Yeah.
For you to be able to understand it better.
Right.
Like, watch any Chinese or Japanese movie. Half the jokes are clearly not what they were saying there.
Yes.
Right. You know? Right.
Yeah. So, there are a few more where Anakin says to Obi-Wan, "I was just made by the Presbyterian Church." Not in the film, surprisingly. And my favorite one, which was Anakin describes an attack from the rear, and it's translated as, "He is coming into my behind."
We should put up a statue.
Yay.
I'm wondering if that's going to be on Snopes as a false thing later.
We'll see.
I'm wondering.
I don't care. Right now it's funny as hell.
We'll put up the link and you can see because it's funny as hell.
You can probably go to Snopes right now and find out.
Okay, so let's move on to our first topic.
Or perhaps listen to Don do the very last news story of the day.
I thought you said you were done.
No.
Jesus.
No, he said he was Don, not Don. Don.
I be Don. All right. I'll be really quick. This one is such a cool story to me. They found a bunch of seeds of the extinct date palm, right, in the Middle East.
Extinct.
Extinct. It has been extinct for thousands of years,
mm-hmm.
right? In the Bible, this is one of the most talked about plants.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to have, according to like King Solomon, there's supposed to be one use for the date palm for every day of the year. They have quotes for, supposedly it's supposed to be linked to contraception, to impotence, to cures for diseases. The fruit itself is supposed to be so high in protein that it could sustain people in a way that fruits really can't.
Right. Right?
It's supposed to be the miracle fruit. Right. So they found some seeds of it 30 years ago in an archaeological dig. It's been sitting on someone's shelf for the past 30 years. These seeds are 2,000 years old, and in Israel they have just managed to get three of the seeds to germinate.
Woo! Wait. They got all three? Because I only heard about one.
They planted all three. The way it was understood, it was in the same pot.
Nope. They planted the three seeds in different pots, and I heard that one of them germinated.
Okay.
Well, one of them sprouted. You know.
Oh, wow. It's full growing now.
So now they can collect more seeds from. Oh wait, how does it?
Well, they don't know yet if it's male or female.
Yeah.
It'll take 5 years for them to figure out if this is a female plant that they'll be able to do something with.
Wow.
It's already progressed enough where they've been able to take clippings of it for DNA analysis. It's the oldest known seed to be germinated. The article I have says that they have been able to germinate a lotus seed that was 1,000 years old before this.
That's amazing.
But this was supposed to be the staple.
But this could be the last plant that grows because if they can't,
there are more seeds.
But you need an opposite sex to make sure that. So if you only have one,
have they named it Eve or Adam?
No,
they don't know if it's male or female.
Ah, wow.
But Newton. They had to...
some old fig Newtons are about ready to make.
They soaked it in like these acid baths and stuff to kind of, you know, with all these nutrients in it to get the outer shell to be really, you know, supple and porous. Yeah. And
planted
also,
in the super soil.
Yeah, because the thing's been sitting around for... I mean, it's been living off of it, what's inside of it, for over 2,000 years, so it doesn't have a whole lot. It doesn't have a whole lot of strength to grow. So they had to kind of try and give it some stuff inside to, you know, work off of.
Right. That is amazing.
The botanist who did it basically said there was no chance that this would happen.
Wow.
She went through the motions.
Yeah.
Basically saying, I never expected this to work.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, she must have come in and seen that little green sprout and like flipped out.
So not only are like botanists fascinated by this, but archaeologists are absolutely up in arms about this right now, trying to figure out what the ramifications of this are. Now they can understand the economy of that time period. Half of the there's all this information they have that without the actual dates, they have no idea what they're talking about in these writings. So we have a new window to our past.
Cool.
Interesting.
New biblical Newtons.
Okay. That's sacrilegious.
Now in raspberry.
Okay. It's going to be one of those shows, isn't it?
It's always one of those shows. All right, let's go to our... Now can we move on? Anybody else?
Now we can move on, Aaron.
All right, let's move to our first topic. This might contain some spoilers.
Might nothing. I'm spilling the beans.
All right, we're going to talk about Batman, the franchise, but including that is Batman Begins.
I am
which
Batman.
We have all...
I am Batman.
I am Batman.
We've all
I
seen?
I am Batman.
Yeah, we've seen.
We've all seen
I'm
it.
Batman.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about Batman Begins.
Did you see it?
He saw it like
Friday. Last night.
Oh.
Okay, whatever.
He needed to make
what,
sure.
What, like I'm not allowed to see Batman? Huh?
You wouldn't go with me.
Well, these two went. They didn't even invite me.
I figured you would be like at the midnight showing on the first day. Like,
even if you don't want to go to the party, it's nice to be invited. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so we're going to talk about Batman Begins.
It is one of those shows.
It is. We're going to talk about the franchise of Batman and the future of Batman.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, hopefully the demise of Robin.
I have a little thing about that.
Uh-oh.
So let's talk about the movie. We all saw the movie. What did you think?
I loved it.
Good.
Loved it. It's that was what Star Wars should have been.
Yeah. Well, and they got the same rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Batman Begins and Star Wars 3.
Keep in mind, Batman Begins just got out.
Okay, no, wait a minute. First of all, I want to address that a little bit. I like the movie. I do not think that movie was written and is for a large audience. It's a good movie for people who are into comic book heroes and action films, but it's not like Spider-Man or Spider-Man 2, which is just a great story for everybody.
Okay.
That it's not a good story. Batman Begins does not have a good story. It does not.
I don't entirely agree with that.
I disagree, but
I was looking. I was watching the audience in that theater.
Okay.
And
so you went the first night, and the audience was a whole bunch of...
Was a whole bunch of geeks with their girlfriends or boyfriends. There were groups there, not just the geeks.
All right.
And by the end of that theater, a lot of the geeks looked very excited, and a lot of their significant others were just as giddy.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard more women talking about it.
Okay. Geek people who date geeks are on their way.
Okay. Oh, so we're all entry drugs, is that
right.
it?
Right. Yeah. We're gateway geeks.
Once you go geek, you can't go
meek.
Freak.
Seek. I don't know.
To me, the story was it's a Genesis story,
right.
At least for the first part. The second part is just a Batman movie.
All I got to say is Kat, my girlfriend, went to go see it with me. She did not know the Batman origin story at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she's like, she could give or take Batman, but flipped over it. Absolutely.
No, it's a fun movie.
And Kat is not
a
geek at all. And Kat's not a geek.
No, it's a fun movie, but it doesn't have a complete, well-rounded story like Spider-Man 2 does.
You know, it does not. It's interesting.
At all. Not even close.
I disagree.
I disagree very firmly.
Yeah, I do too.
You thought this script of Batman Begins was as good as Spider-Man 2?
Yes.
No.
I wouldn't say it's as good, but I would say it's still a really good, well-rounded story.
What's the story of Batman Begins?
I would say the story is much more internal.
Yeah.
The whole Batman movie is about a man trying to find himself.
Defining himself.
Right?
Yes.
Whereas Spider-Man is trying to find out where he fits in with other people.
I think you're injecting what you know about Batman into all the Batman movies.
No.
I'm absolutely not.
I do not think... Okay.
I'm actually somewhat stunned that you don't agree with that.
Okay, let me describe to people who want to listen and aren't worried about spoilers. The beginning of this movie. You start out with our hero in a prison.
Yeah.
Like in China or somewhere.
Right.
Okay.
Tibet.
Tibet, okay? And for no reason whatsoever that we know of, okay?
He said he wanted to get as far away from himself as he could. Later on in the film, he said you would have to go 1,000 miles to find anyone.
Keep in mind that the director of this, you know, who doesn't use a lot of linear storytelling in his other things, Memento.
Okay.
You know, is using non-linear storytelling. Okay. So if you want to
do
it...
Very well, I might add.
Yeah, and if you want to do it in a linear... story that, you know, if you want to take everything and put it in a linear way, that's just a scene along the path of things.
Some like Yoda-ish / Mr. Miyagi guy, who, by the way, was a horrible character. Now, again, I like this movie, but Liam Neeson's character was horrible.
I loved
Liam Neeson. I wished that this was what Qui-Gon Jinn was.
Yeah.
Well, just because that was worse does not mean that it was a good character.
No, I liked him.
No,
you know,
I really liked Aaron.
I think this is a case where...
Grab the sword. You know, if you can beat me, then you're ready to complete, you know, your training.
Never said
that. If you can...
He never said that.
He almost acted like that character, the mystery man. And you know the mystery men?
The Sphinx.
Yeah, the Sphinx who talked in riddles. He was saying almost the exact lines from that. I completely disagree.
Did you go to the same movie as us?
I liked the
He hated the ninja stuff.
I can understand that.
Okay.
The ninja training, I was like, we don't need ninja training specifically.
That's all it was.
But I'm saying the content of the ninja training, the fact that they went out of their way to go like they're ninjas in Tibet, and they're a super secret school of ninjas.
Yeah. Well, this guy shows up and says
that.
If you want to learn super secret combat training, follow me.
No, it's not what he says.
That's pretty much what he says at all.
No, he says if you're willing to look for what you want to become,
which is a superhero. He says, "Self, do you want to fight crime?"
Yeah.
He goes, "Yeah."
No, he says, "Do you believe in justice?"
Okay.
You know, because he knows that his parents have been killed, and later on he says in the film,
"I thought the whole beginning of it was pretty weak." And when they got out of the super secret superhero training ground, the movie got a lot better.
Okay, I will say that the movie moves a little bit slowly
in the training sequence
in the beginning of the film.
Totally.
And someone actually mentioned that to me as well, but I didn't fault the film for that. I didn't feel like that was a bad thing.
I don't think slow. No, I thought I got kind of slow when he was like spray painting his armor and stuff, which I actually liked.
I dug that part.
Yeah. I didn't find it slow at all there. I thought it was cooking along.
Huh. I would agree that the pacing changed when he went back to Gotham.
Yeah,
but it was appropriate.
Yeah, that's what I felt too. I agree with you.
For example, one of my big complaints with the movie is I hate, and the people who listen to the show have heard me bitch about the same thing before. I hate fight sequences where they cut so quickly I can't tell what's going on.
Yeah, they won't go into a wide shot.
They did do that in Batman, but in Batman I found it acceptable.
Yeah,
because it fit the movie and it fit Batman.
Yeah, fit Batman. You don't know what's going on. Yeah,
in the beginning of the movie, when he first meets Qui-Gon Jinn, Qui-Gon Jinn says, "Fight me," and he goes into a stance, right, and it's a pretty stance. Qui-Gon Jinn goes, "Oh, tiger," and smacks him, right, and he goes into another stance, and Qui-Gon Jinn goes, "Oh, crane," smacks him, and once he drops the pretty shit and starts just trying to break you. Right? Then the camera work got much more gritty, much more fast, much more difficult to tell what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's from the perspective of the criminal who's supposed to be so terrified and so
not knowing what's
baffled
going on.
What's going on.
Now that I wished, like, the first Batman fight scene when he shows up and he takes out those guys in like the warehouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome scene.
I love that.
The more you saw Batman, the crappier the scene got, I thought. And I'm almost starting to think that if Batman isn't posed in a movie, he doesn't look cool.
Like, I would agree.
I thought the costume was pretty shitty, actually.
I liked everything about the costume except for the hat.
The mask?
The mask was bad.
Well, I think Christian Bale's got a good jaw. I mean, he's got a pretty damn strong jaw. And they basically took the back part of the mask and they made him look all Walter Matthau jowly. That was the only thing. When he's sitting there talking to Katie Holmes, it just made him look like he had a big round body.
The mask looked like it was made of plastic.
It was how he was lit that was the problem, I think. Because
maybe true.
Well, no, because look, the bat costume is great, but it's not super reflective. You know, I mean, it sucks up light. So
but his skin popped out.
His skin pops out, and what you need to do is you can't have front lighting on his face so that all of it, you know, you need to have
it so
he's silhouetted and he's always in shadows. Batman doesn't go and stand in the light. He doesn't do that.
Right.
And when he comes into the light, he always has to have the light above so it's all this, you know, so this is real severe.
I would agree with that. That's a really good observation.
I want Sam Fisher.
It was jarring every time they showed him.
I want Sam Fisher in a bat suit, essentially, is what I'm looking for in a Batman movie.
Okay, but outside of your sexual fantasies.
So the beginning of this, when you didn't see Batman and he was tying people up and you could see, you know, just people dropping, that was great. Later on in the movie, when you start seeing him, I was like, oh, shoot. Except for the parts where he was posed, you know, he's sitting on top of a corner of a building and this cape's draped.
Yeah.
I go, he looks good there. He looks good when he's parked, you know, in a corner, and you could just see his eyes, and he's talking to Commissioner or Gordon, Lieutenant Gordon, or
places when he's in shadows.
Mm-hmm. When he's in shadows, and the more and more you saw him in his goofy costume, because I didn't think the costume held
I liked
up.
It.
Costume was close. It was pretty darn good.
It was close, but it was
pretty
not,
darn good.
I'd say the costume was good and the hat sucked.
I liked most of the costume. There were moments where I was like, eh, but most of it, I have to say, I liked most of
it. I dug it.
In comparison to the Catwoman outfit, yeah, spot on.
Which Catwoman outfit?
Which? The one from the crappy Halle Berry movie.
Okay,
not
thank
Michelle
you.
Pfeiffer.
Thank you. I was going to say Michelle Pfeiffer in that
Catwoman.
Oh,
I'm not going to diss on the Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman. Are you kidding?
Woman was schmancy.
But I thought it was done well. I like the other bad guy actually. I thought he was interesting.
Scarecrow?
Scarecrow.
Yeah. No. I actually didn't like Scarecrow. I thought he was pretty lame.
I liked him. I liked the writing for the character. I thought the guy turned in a very good performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the actor was
way too young. Yeah.
And way too pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I talked to you about this. I liked how his prettiness was opposite of his mask.
Yeah, I understand that. But they could have gotten an older, pretty guy, too. This guy
This guy
looked like he was fresh out of high school. And
true. Yeah, he did. Really, you know, really, really.
But all the Batman villains, the Scarecrow is the least sexy.
No, Scarecrow is supposed to be this disturbed, geeky.
Well, I don't really know the character from the comics as much. You're right, I agree he was too young. I just wish that he was the main bad guy. I really wish.
Well, there were two films.
And then
See, the problem is I don't have any problem with the fact that there were two films. I mean, there was basically the film of him becoming Batman. Great. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes basically an episode of Batman where he's
right.
dealing with
that's
everything.
That's why I don't like... You know? That's why I thought it was a clumsy script. The Spider-Man movies, it was so woven in. The first Spider-Man movie was a Genesis story, and you know how I react to those.
Yeah.
And it was so woven into the script, I could barely tell that it was like perfectly... This seemed like two separate movies to me. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I got to tell you...
Respected, I disagree.
At one point, I was working for a guy, and I actually put together a pitch for Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
And the jackass I was working for didn't look at the pitch until 5 minutes before he went in to pitch. And so he was literally, like, reading verbatim, you know,
right.
like just reading going and trying to figure it out as he was going along. And I still really like this idea. The idea was Batman comes back to Gotham. He's got issues, fear issues. He's got anger, rage issues, actually, you know, all sorts of issues, you know, from his childhood. And he winds up in therapy with Jonathan Crane.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the guy that becomes the Scarecrow.
Mm.
And from their conversations during the day, they both start to develop these altered personalities.
That's right. We talked about this, and that became the plot of Birds of Prey.
You told me this. I've never seen it. But the whole concept was that then, you know, Scarecrow becomes, you know, the Scarecrow, and Batman becomes Batman. They fight at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during the day, they're still coming back in, talking, you know. And then but the same thing happened was that Scarecrow uses all the... Uber criminals in Arkham to become his army.
I love the fact that Arkham got blown to shit and that's how they released him.
The one thing I didn't like though was I was not scared by any of the people in Arkham.
No.
Neither was I.
Yeah. It could have been jail.
Although
I thought it was a jail.
The fact that it
was
insanity being unleashed on the city should have been a little more scary.
And then are you supposed to assume that they're just that's how all these criminals are out there from here on out? Or is this like a permanent problem?
Because
I kind of just got the impression that they're going to clean it up in the next week and everything's going to be fine.
It's sort of implied they didn't catch them all.
No. It's implied that we lost the Narrows, they say at the end. We lost the Narrows.
Yeah. I guess I didn't.
That part of the city is effed up.
Yeah.
You know? And they've also, I mean, it was a really dark ending. They don't have enough antidote.
Yeah.
You know? So they've got to make the antidote and get it to people, and it's going to take weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The city's a mess.
So there are a lot of people who are just batshit raven nuts from that point on.
Yeah.
And
I like Gordon.
I loved the fact
that
Gordon was brilliant.
Gary Oldman is Gordon. And such a small part, too.
He's such a good actor, though.
He was amazing. But for me, Michael Caine turned in the best performance I've seen from him.
Yes.
He was
in a long time.
You know, I got to say something.
Forever.
Whoever cast this movie did a really good job. Although I don't typically like... I'm not that big a fan of Christian Bale. That's what I was going to say.
But she had... No, I'm not going to blame the writing.
No, there was some bad... She had some dialogue that was absolutely laughable. The end of that movie was almost embarrassing.
Well, yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
mask.
Yeah.
This is your mask.
That was
you hated that.
That was bad. No, no, that was bad.
I didn't hate it.
Well, I didn't hate it.
The problem is,
how does she know this is his mask?
Well,
how much time has she spent with him?
Exactly.
And how does she know this is his mask? She doesn't know anything about him, whether or not that's his mask, and he's really there.
But
she's just that stuff just coming out of the middle of
nowhere.
Yeah,
but we do. And the thing
I would disagree because that the scene in front of the hotel when he's leaving.
Yeah. Oh wait,
if you want to read into it, she's looking at him going like, "This isn't you."
So she saw she saw him with two hot chicks and that, and she's
and
read all
enough
this.
For her to
no,
judge
but
him.
It's like she's grown behavior. Up with him. They said, you know, she's grown up with
you
him.
You can tell a lot from someone.
But not only that, she was contradictory to her own statement.
Yeah.
She said, "You know what? I just can't date you because you're just not the same person."
Yeah.
But your dad would be really proud of what a cool stand-up guy you are for being a superhero to our entire country and nation. Bye.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the?
No, okay. I mean, that's valid.
I didn't particularly like what she did. What I thought they were going to go with in that scene, and then it turned on its head, was that she was going to kiss him, and he was going to pull away and say,
Two Spider-Man.
That's Spider-Man. And I'm glad they went the other way.
Okay.
Now, two.
Now, I like how they made the Spider-Man reference about the Michael Caine saying, you're going to put on a mask to protect the innocent from your, like, your girlfriend from getting caught by all these bad guys. It was like, well, no, I was actually, you know,
thinking about myself. Yeah.
I thought that was a great scene. It was kind of an inference to the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. I didn't catch that, but I like that. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Okay. Three things. Number one, I love the stuff he does where he grabs people and just ripped away. That stuff's awesome. Okay.
Well done.
There were three things, and that's one of them. What were the other two?
Well, you didn't tell me.
Can't remember what number two was, but number three was, what are they going to do? What villains are left?
Okay, well, why don't we go into that now?
Tons.
The future of
Yeah, we should get
Batman.
Away from the movie and talk about Batman at this point right now.
Okay.
Well, I just want to take the chance to whip through some of the other Batman stuff in the franchise.
I just think that we're going to start right back from the top with new villains. I mean,
they
prepped the Joker.
Huh? Dead.
Where's Robin?
Dead and buried.
I don't know.
Wait, finish what you were going to say about Batman.
I just want to whip through the franchise real quick.
Oh,
as far as the villains go, which villains we have left?
I think they're going to restart.
Yeah, they have to restart. This doesn't fit
God.
The continuity anymore.
No. They started with the Joker right there.
And the Joker's back now.
Yeah.
And he met
the next
Joker
movie doesn't have to
one.
Be that.
That's the other thing I was going to talk about. It was really cool when he said, you know, escalation. What a great part.
Yeah.
Yes, you know. Excellent monologue. The fact, you know, now you exist. Now their version of you will exist.
Yes.
You know, and I loved that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go through the franchise real quick. The first Batman cartoon, I think everyone here has seen. Yes.
Yeah.
You've not
first
seen.
Oh,
the
no, yeah. I've seen. You mean
the series?
The
Batman
series.
Animated
okay.
Series.
Sorry. Yes, I've seen some
the recent
series.
One.
No, the one from the
back
Paul
in the
70s. One.
Paul Dini, way back when, hands on hips.
Oh, like dun dun dun, with Adam West.
No, not Batmite.
With Adam West and...
Okay, going back to the Adam West one then, fine.
Okay. The 70s.
Well, there's a cartoon
go by time
one
period.
Had Adam West and and Casey Kasem as Robin.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. We'll start with that one. Good point.
Okay.
I forgot about it. I don't remember liking it very much.
I like
well,
the
Scooby-Doo
crossovers.
It was like the Super Friends. Yeah, Scooby-Doo crossovers, Super Friends. I loved all that
Didn't
crap.
Did we have Batman
we
in
could,
it?
We could probably whip
no.
through this almost even faster. I mean, you know, you had the TV show. All the, there's a lot of the cheesy stuff. I didn't like any of the cheesy stuff.
You didn't like the old series?
The old series?
I liked the old series
the
when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I was in the single digits.
But now I wouldn't want to watch that.
No.
Okay.
I have the movie, though. It's hilarious.
Okay.
I've seen that.
It's funny now. It's
right,
just
the
funny.
Animated 70s TV show. I don't really remember it especially fondly.
Right.
I don't remember
sort of
that at all.
I was watching Spider-Man and the Hulk animated more often.
Oh, I thought Spider-Man was good back then. But anyway... Batman the Animated Series with the Danny Elfman soundtrack early 90s.
That was good. That was great.
That was definitive. I mean, that brought Batman into the mainstream again after the movies went away.
Yeah.
Because that was inspired by the movies.
There were three nerds outside of the movie with the night that I went to see it. And they're sitting there, and there's one nerd who actually had more hair than face was sitting there talking to the other guys.
Okay, wait. So... Have you seen the animated series, though?
I mean, that's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is that you gotta go see the animated series, and then you can judge. But not before. I'm
and you're making fun of them, why?
No, nerds. They were worse.
He's like ragging on a nerd.
Yes.
Okay. I felt that needed to be clarified. All right, but the animated series, and then there was a transition point in the animated series where they changed the animation.
Yeah, it became very anime.
I mean, he became
and
like...
I hated the transition.
Futuristic, point. Right?
No, not Batman...
Not Batman Beyond.
Oh, okay.
In the original Batman series, all of a sudden, like, Catwoman became shorter and albino.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The Joker suddenly had gleaming pinpoint demon eyes.
Yes.
Hmm. They wrote out Robin, the original Robin. They made Batgirl his sidekick and then brought in a 12-year-old kid Robin.
Yeah.
Which annoyed the shit out of me.
Yeah, it was very
interesting concept.
All of a sudden, it was not Batman anymore. It became cartoony.
Yeah, everything's
fun Batman.
Hey, Batman, where are we going to go?
Right.
Then they moved on to Batman Beyond, which I thought was really, really well done. Really
now it's in the future, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great because
it
also...
same timeline.
Yeah.
So Barbara Gordon is now the police commissioner.
Yeah.
And she's not... Batman is not one of her favorite people.
So is Batman old in that?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's in his 70s, 80s.
Old Bruce Wayne. His life has been wrecked by everything he's done. He lives alone in an abandoned... just
and he fights crime when he's 80
mansion?
Or 90?
No. And he's taken on a new apprentice who is the new Batman.
Yeah.
Oh,
he basically that what's
weird.
What's really cool is about that is that they show the demise of Batman and how he's basically gotten older and older and older, and he's gotten a suit to supplement himself because he no longer has the musculature to support it.
Like power armor?
Yeah, basically power armor. And he's updated with the times and he's really, really good. But so of the criminals, and they've escalated as well, and he gets jacked.
Mm-hmm.
And in one fight, he ends up picking up a gun and holding at the guy who backs off and runs away, and he's like, I picked up a gun.
The reason why he picked up
it.
The gun, though, and it was such a good opening to this, that's the first episode of that series. He's like in his 60s
he's
in that
60s,
episode,
yeah.
And he's having a heart attack while he's fighting these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So, mid-heart.
That sounds, like an interesting that sounds more interesting than... The
it was
other,
very good.
It was very, very good. Yeah.
Never saw it.
Yeah. And then the
and
then
the
kid
animated,
comes along.
The movie of it, they did The Joker Returns.
Yeah.
Oh, animated movie.
It was excellent.
It was really, really good.
It was really excellent.
Because I didn't really... I'm not a big fan of the other Batman movies. The Tim Burton stuff.
I love the Tim Burton
I know you
stuff.
Guys, but I
would say the animated Batman movies are actually quite good. Mask of the Phantasm.
Mask of the Phantasm is great.
Very good. They had... I'm trying to remember. They had one that was just... It was so well done, and I kept cracking up. It was a Mr. Freeze movie, and he kidnaps Barbara Gordon, not knowing that she's Batgirl.
Mm-hmm.
And this chick will not stay kidnapped.
Right.
Like, she escapes three times over the course of the movie, and they keep
and he can't figure
keep
out
getting
why.
Her.
Yeah.
Great,
Mr. Freeze, too.
There is now a new Batman animated series.
Right, and that's fully
10:30
anime.
In the morning. Yeah, it's the most butt-ugly cartoon I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst written I've ever seen. It's an embarrassment to the Batman genre and should be killed on sight.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, Penguin's now a martial arts genius and, you know, hops around and everything's like, kill!
It's made by the people who made the Men in Black cartoon and the Jackie Chan Adventures cartoon.
Which, both of which I liked.
That animation, I
don't
will,
like
I will aisle. Say that perhaps that style has its place.
No, they're, those are two different Batman. Styles. Two different styles. The Men in Black cartoon was drawn by the guy who did Aeon Flux. And he was the lead artist on it. And Jackie Chan was a pastel style.
No,
it was completely different.
They have
different.
Exactly the same look. They have exactly the same 60s Merry Melodies background. Where okay, we're going to kind of sketch a vague impression of a building.
Well, that's Jackie Chan, not flat. Men in Black.
Men in Black did the same thing.
Really?
And they have the same kind of hammerhead-looking characters that are... Oh, they okay, this guy's got a big forehead, so it's going to take up... He's going to look like an upside-down pear.
Hmm.
And... No one looking realistic. I hate that style of cartoon. It died in the 60s. Let it die. Hmm. Put it away. No more.
And that's the latest one.
That's the latest one.
Hmm.
Physically painful to watch.
Oh, I won't watch that one. I'll go get the DVD of whatever the other one's
on.
Batman
some cool
Beyond.
Stuff.
Batman
so what
Batman
are the...
Series.
I've got a list of Batman villains, and most of them I don't know. I noticed there are six Clayfaces.
Yeah. Clayface has not been done yet.
He's the only one that hasn't been done.
What about Calendar Man?
No.
No, no, no,
what
no.
What about Archer? Bane.
Bane?
Bane's been done.
Bane was
been
done in the Mr. Freeze Poison Ivy
yeah,
movie.
He was the big...
Firefly?
I've never even heard of Firefly.
Firefly
has
is,
not been done,
he
but
was
he's
created
not a major
in a
villain.
He was created
Hush.
In the cartoon series.
What about Hush?
Hush.
Harley Quinn?
Harley Quinn created in the cartoon series.
Yep.
Killer Croc?
Killer Croc was done. He was merged with the Penguin for the second
for
Batman
the second
movie.
One. Yeah.
Enough that you could...
Oh, no, you didn't call him by name. But okay. I think they'd be worried a little bit about that because they're bringing Lizard into Spider-Man and they don't want...
Mad Hatter?
Merged with the Riddler for the
third Batman movie.
Ooh,
Mad Hatter.
No, merged with the Riddler for the third movie.
Right.
The Ventriloquist?
Doesn't
sound like
No, actually, Scarface. Yeah, that would not be a bad choice for like a little aside.
What about Egghead?
That one can rest in peace.
Yeah, Egghead can go away.
All the King's Horses should not put...
What about Man-Bat?
Man-Bat was interesting if the plot line's done right, but he's just the weakest villain.
Too much like the Lizard.
Yeah.
I think Clayface is the only one that's left. Yeah. But the problem with Clayface is that he's an actor who discovers a way of being able to change his face to look like anyone,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's not the most interesting superpower in and of itself. Now, there's ways of making it interesting, you know, if he
ends up getting really, really dosed in it because he's also selling drugs and a bunch of other things, and then he gets dosed by it,
right.
And it makes his body completely malleable, and he becomes a big old monster.
Right.
Well, it seems to me they can't go forward in the series without bringing in Joker.
Yeah,
he's the antithesis of Batman. He needs to be in this franchise.
They should revise the series and just start. Like
well, they
you
already
said.
Have.
No, actually, you could conceivably.
Link these two.
The first Batman movie, the Joker is the one who kills his parents.
Yeah.
Oh, and right.
This
true.
One, we've established that the guy who kills his parents was killed leaving the...
Well, here's the thing about this coming up movie, or coming up series, is everything was kind of explainable. There's no superpower. None of them had superpowers.
No.
And so, like, Clayface, I think, would be a stretch for the genre in which they've now picked. Yep. If you're saying that he's got something spilled on him, he can change his face. That, to me, like, even the Scarecrow guy, he just threw drugs in people's faces.
Yep.
It was all explainable. Batman showed you pretty much how all of his gadgets worked.
Yep.
Which was pretty cool that they came up with. So I think if they stick with this, where the Joker... Or any of these characters
Joker's
are
just
actually
nuts.
Just tamed down versions, or kind of the real life versions. That to me would be more appealing.
I would like
My prediction would be in the next one we see the Joker and we see Catwoman, because she's the love interest. You know, we have
Man,
to see
you
Catwoman
can't do
again.
That.
I would kill Catwoman
it would be the
for
same
a while.
Movie.
I would predict we're going to see her because we need a woman.
Yeah,
and
you don't
Catwoman,
need two bad guys.
Catwoman
though.
Is. Well, actually, no, because Catwoman just had her own movie.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll be smart and let Nolan do the next one, or if he even wants to.
I hope he does, because he did such a good job.
I think he did a really
good
job.
I would guess, though, for the third one, we see return of Ra's al Ghul with Talia.
Okay.
That would probably be the way to tie up the series.
Yeah. Well, and what was with, like, Ken Watanabe... Like with the
I loved it.
Yeah, with the five line, but he was the five line Asian guy, and then he was like, I mean, he literally said, "Excellent."
I mean, come on. I gotta say,
it was lame. I mean, you know, the whole scene was lame.
I liked it because they advertised the crap out of Ken Watanabe as Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah,
and that's why. I bought it. That's why I bought the storyline that followed.
That's why I liked the whole story, because you didn't see it coming. You know, you thought that it was going to be Ken Watanabe showing up later.
Exactly. And I was a little annoyed because Ra's al Ghul ain't Asian. He's not. So when they cast an Asian guy as Ra's al Ghul, I was kind of like, all right.
Who's Ra's al Ghul?
Ra's al Ghul is...
Or Ra's al Ghul.
He's a bad guy?
He is a bad guy. He is Liam Neeson's character in this.
Yeah.
Oh. And the whole premise behind that character is that he's Batman's opposite because he dedicated his life to achieving the pinnacle of perfection that Batman has, but because he's functionally immortal. He's discovered this pit that he can go to rejuvenate himself constantly.
The Lazarus pit. So whenever he dies, if they take his corpse and put it in it, he comes back to life.
So he has multiple lifetimes of experience to pull on.
Right.
Yep. Lame. Okay. Are we done?
Which is why
Batman? Is Batman done?
Batman's done.
Oh, please fix Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy. Those are my two favorite characters.
Yeah,
and they
Poison
just peed
Ivy
all
needs,
over them.
Poison Ivy needs her own, you know,
movie.
I love
and
Poison
she needs
Ivy.
To be a, she needs to be a love interest that he's dating
that
and then
be
has
a
to
great
put away.
Movie.
You know,
that would be a really
actually,
cool
you know, movie. Kind of what I would like is, did you ever see the Batman animated series cartoon where they is the origin of Two-Face?
No. Two-Face is a great character, too.
Okay, the origin of Two-Face is because he is the...
Oh, he's the district attorney, right.
And Poison Ivy decides, you're just not fitting in with my plans. So Poison Ivy is the one who creates Two-Face in an attempt to assassinate him. And it was such a good cartoon episode.
In the comic book, it's he's created in the middle of a trial. I don't remember who they're putting away. And someone throws acid on his face trying to kill him.
Yeah.
And then it turns, you know, he has a psychotic break.
Right.
You know?
Wasn't that in a news aside in the original Batman? They had Billy Dee Williams as Harvey
Dent.
Yeah,
as Harvey
Dent. Someone throws acid in his face on the TV.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thought I saw that.
Hmm. So, anyway. All right. So should we call it? We're,
I think next week we'll promise we'll do less news and two stories.
We'll get our news under control.
We'll get our news under control because I want to get to our techno babble showdown. Matt, could you lead us off with the situation that we happen to have gotten ourselves into?
The situation as it stands. You and your crew have momentarily escaped from a Delphinian attack. Your light cruiser has sustained severe damage. Shields down, FTL drive inoperative. The planetary system you have just entered has only two gas giants and a thin asteroid belt. The Delphinians will arrive within hours to finish you off.
Sounds like...
What will you do?
Anybody want to start out?
Sure, yeah.
All right, Peter.
Okay.
Come in prepared this time Peter with a solution.
Peter brought some techno babble.
Bring it. All right.
You're going to break
bring
it down.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Okay.
You've been served.
All right. So we were crippled, and a fleet of five Delphinian Mark VIII Ravagers was hot on our tail after the new quantum hyperphasic disruptor prototype we were bringing back to Earth. We found ourselves in a small system with only two gas giants and a thin asteroid belt. Our time was running out. In a desperate gambit, we raided our now-defunct FTL drives for dilithium crystals. Our chief engineer officer was able to attach some scavenger hyperthermic detonators to create some antimatter bombs, which we seeded the nearby asteroid belt with. Then we put our entire security team in jetpacks and hid them in the largest asteroid in the belt. Well, when the Delphinians arrived, we played lame duck, intentionally scraping against a small asteroid as if we could barely steer. We figured the Delphinians must have broken our codes on our positronic communicators, or they never would have been able to ambush us in the first place. So we sent out a distress signal that our navigational array was barely operational. And this was what allowed the Delphinians to take the bait, and we drew them in, luring them into the densest part of the asteroid belt. We took shelter behind a large asteroid and blew the hyperthermite charges, turning the space into a moving minefield of meteor shrapnel.
Interesting.
So three of their cruisers took extremely heavy damage and were disabled. The other two were still functional and together could probably take us out, so we reactivated our systems and began a game of cat and mouse. They had to follow us slowly, trying not to get too close, because they didn't know if any of the other asteroids were mined. We used that to keep them away from us. So they were following us. They had to follow us slowly.
Okay.
We threatened to use...
Because of the minefield.
Because of the minefield.
Right.
We threatened to use the new hyperphasic disruptors, which caused the Delphinians to put all of their energy into their forward shields.
Shields now are down.
Down. And the Delphinians, they didn't know that we'd left that crew of security behind, okay?
Right.
So,
genius.
So with all the debris in the area, they were unnoticeable as they boarded the three disabled cruisers and took control of them. As soon as they did, our security blasted the remaining ships from behind with the phasers from their own disabled ships, okay?
Excellent.
They immediately surrendered. We were able to return home to the fleet with five captured vessels. If a little worse for the wear. The sad thing is that the prototype that they were after never worked in the first place. It's a dud. Live and learn, right?
You do.
Genius.
Wow.
Interesting.
I used a similar technique.
Wow.
Since we know that the loss of one ship results in a sort of destroy with overwhelming force mentality in the Delphinians, we go on red alert, we jerk into action.
With the ship rocking to and fro like in overweight Quarthog and heat, we limp towards the asteroid field surrounding larger the gas giants, all right, hoping to conceal our electrocardonic signature in the swirling mess. So now, since it will take at least an hour on basic impulse to get there, we realize that the Delphinians were going to arrive scant minutes after we're settled.
Hmm.
Since everyone knows the phrase, as pissed off as an angry Delphinian is not a good thing, our science officer, who was recently awoken and ticked off after his coital session with a Garabi Uber whore, he comes up with a very interesting idea. On his advice, we search desperately for quadranium-containing asteroid to utilize for our possible escape, just as our engineers hurriedly try to get us at least warp one from the battered engines. Hmm. Now, as we know, the Delphinians have Neruni hardware, which utilizes an Enderese particle-based emitter.
Right.
Our newest ensign is half Enderese, and he lets us know that if we convert a Koholoric pulse, which was named after Bendis Koholor, who started studying interstellar physics shortly after he became the first octuple amputee in a crazed oople-eating contest, he realized that we could cause a wave polarization of our engine core.
Mm.
Meanwhile, an away team quickly finds some quadranium, but not before a Delphinian intruder vessel catches sight of them, destroys one of the shuttle pods en route back to the ship. We quickly use the landing electronet to destroy the intruder vessel as they attempt to board us. And we stagger from the field, venting gas from our engine core so that it appears that we're as weak and helpless as a wombat stuck in a bantha's anus. The lead ships of the Delphinians break off, with the Humvart cruisers not far behind. Now, they're unable to get a lock on us due to the fact that the wave polarization of our engine core is confusing their sensors, kind of like a drunk Wookiee trying to play Galaxian. Before they can switch to manual, we make it into the gas giant, taking an insane dive toward the graphitic center of the beast, you know?
Right.
So, guess if you can see this coming, all right? As you know, as we see the Humvart cruisers are following, we jettison the quadranium, which, as you know, is an incredibly radioactive material.
Right.
All
right?
Next, we cut the engines and we fall into an inertial tumble, spitting the radioactive quadranium everywhere like water from a wet Delphinian hair hog as it shakes itself dry, thus creating a sort of a quadranium minefield in our wake. The lead Delphinian ship hits one of the quote-unquote mines, and we engage our warp engines during our spin, which, needless to say, rips a large piece of the superstructure away from our ship, causing us to lose a few hundred lives. But, you know, we warped out of the gas core just as the first Delphinian ship blew, igniting the gas giant, taking the whole fleet with it.
Wow.
How you like them ooples?
You guys did a lot of work. Mine was more simple.
Well, you go right ahead, then.
I mean, you know, I guess I just stumbled upon this, but first of all, I'm going to have to give Lieutenant Johnson most of the credit for this.
Johnson actually helped me out with mine, too.
Did he really?
Yes.
This guy is pretty good. We entered the system, and I quickly scanned the area for gravity wave shadows and helo disruption static.
Oh.
And there was none, so I started to panic, like, right then and there. So I was in the middle of assigning escape pod seats when Lieutenant Johnson entered the bridge. Nothing unusual except I could see through his standard usually skin-tight jumpsuit that he had this huge erection. I mean, in a time of crisis. I mean, this guy's hung like a Muzon she-male, okay?
And he's like, well.
So I'm like,
okay. A Muzon she-male? Wow.
Well, to make a long story short, Johnson has had an ongoing affair with Petty Officer Takoda. And because he's getting up there in age, he's been using urectinol. And the triggering agent for urectinol, Peter, you probably know this, ionized serenium.
Right.
Why do I know this?
Oh. Ionized serenium.
Just a
so,
guess.
So, with a morning glory like Johnson... With a morning glory like Johnson's there, I mean, there must be a large supply somewhere.
Somewhere,
so,
yeah.
We scan the nearest gas giant, and bingo. So we just lowered the ship down to the atmosphere, polarized the hull plating, which acted like a natural cloaking device. Very simple. We had to wait there for several days, but Johnson was very popular that weekend. So.
But how could anyone find him? He'd have been under the natural cloaking device, too.
He wasn't polarized.
Oh, okay.
At that time.
At that time.
Wow, well, okay, I'm at a severe disadvantage here because unlike these three, I've actually never been in this situation this time. So I guess I'm working with some theories here, okay? Basically, as we all know, delphiniums are Broadwave Alpha Sound psychics.
Right.
Right?
Yeah,
this is how they track you.
That's why they get
right.
picked
yeah.
off.
Okay? So having been so badly damaged by them during the ambush, right, in our light cruiser,
mm-hmm.
Which of course is problematic because without a metal hull, there's only so much you can do. It takes some time to fix your engine.
Sure.
So using the hard light hulls that we have for our light cruiser.
Right, right, right.
We had to go in fairly close to the gas giants, right? We're having trouble escaping from their gravity pull.
Mm-hmm.
But what occurs to me is that if we can just come up with some sort of way to block or dampen our standard alpha wave outputs in our human brains, then we might be able to hide ourselves from them, right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
So what resources do we have? We have gas giants. Gas giants.
Gas giants.
So since we're being brought in by their gravity pull anyway, we start using that momentum to bring ourselves as close to the planet as possible so that we can open our light hull and harvest some of the natural occurring gases in the upper levels of the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Like scooping.
Mm-hmm. Like scooping, like a big pet scoop, scooping pet food out of a bag.
Got it.
Now, what exists in the highest levels of the gas giants? Trihelate diphosphor gas, right? Which is deadly to humans, but conceivably could block the alpha wave transmissions that broad wave alpha sound psychics pick up on.
That's really smart.
So we go down, we scoop up, and we start using the planet's gravity like a enormous whirlpool slingshot, right? And we use it to swoop around the first gas planet and up to the second one, bringing a trail of this gas with us.
Mm-hmm.
We repeat the process with the next one, basically making large figure eights between these two gas giant planets, creating a stream of the trihelate disphosphor gas from both planets, creating a zone between them.
Hmm.
Right?
That is null psychic.
Which is null psychic. But the problem is, their sensors should still be able to pick up our light hull, right? So, this is what we did. We brought in the gas, the trihelate disphosphor gas, and we put that through the transdimensional transducers to make it trihelate triphosphor. Not deadly to us, but which will block alpha wave usage within the human brain. I mean, essentially it turns us into robots and we won't sleep well for the next week, but we won't be putting out those waves.
Right.
Okay? So, at that point, we have that zone, but their sensors should still be able to pick up our engines, our light hull. So what we do is we leave the zone. We leave the zone we've created between those two planets, and we enter that field of asteroid, the asteroid belt, right? To conceal our ambient cast-off light from our hull. At that point, we hook up Crewman Johnson to the hemocells to power our ship. Running his blood through the blood-powering engine.
Wow.
Right?
So you basically sacrificed him.
Well, for a couple hours. I mean, it's he'll be a little run down for a couple weeks. Okay. It's not really...
Or you just... Some orange juice.
Yeah. But, I mean, we noticed the same problem you did, where a lot of his blood wasn't being used in primary centers of the body anyway.
Anyway.
So we figured he wouldn't notice it.
Why not?
So, now that the ship is being powered by our hemocell engines... The Delphinian sensors would never be able to pick up the bioenergy signature, and we should have the adequate time while hiding in the asteroid belt while they search our trihelate triphosphor gas range that we've set up between the two gas giants.
Wow. Interesting.
Really sharp. Really great.
Johnson gets around.
It's Johnson has get around. Yeah.
Excellent, everybody.
Yay!
Any quick links at all?
Yeah.
I have two.
I got one.
Let's whip through them.
All right.
Gamer Comics. There's a great new gamer comic a la Dork Tower. Very funny. It's called www.pennyarcade.com. We'll give you the link. It's great.
Very popular.
It's very funny.
I have Defend Your Castle, a new Flash game you can play, where basically you've got a little castle and there are all these people running up to it trying to hit it, and you mouse click on the people and you hurl them up into the air so that they... you have to throw them far up enough so that they splash when they hit the ground. And if you've killed enough people, you can go on to the next level. You can store up points to buy little features for your castle, like a temple that will convert people if you drop them in there, an archery range to make you more accurate. Jeez.
Sounds pretty.
These Flash games are getting like those old good Nintendo games.
It is very much like a good old Atari game. Yes.
I have one. Somebody has developed a piece of software to change PDF files into files that a PlayStation Portable can use. So you can take any PDF file. I loaded it up. It's free. It's called PDF to PSP. I'll put the link on there on our website, but you just drag the PDF file onto this. It makes JPEGs, and you just load it up on. You can read. I put all sorts of stuff on.
Cool. Also, speaking of which, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I have there's this website called Big Boys or BigBoy.net.
It's a lot of ass rubbing.
Anyway, it's got this very funny clip of World of Warcraft. Something happening in World of Warcraft. And we'll put a link to that.
Is
very
this the, oh God, what, everyone where I work has been doing this quote from a World of Warcraft thing that's going on, Jeffrey something?
Yeah, there's this guy that I'll show it to you later. Everybody should check it out. If you're that type of gamer, it's pretty funny.
You should also know that EB Games is running a special right now. If you have an old PlayStation that is run down, that you ain't using, that you can put into a box and
PlayStation or PlayStation 2?
PlayStation 2, excuse me. PlayStation 2 with a power cord, and you got two games that are lame that you really hate, you can turn it into EB. They're willing to give you, I think it's $120 in store credit for that.
Which is, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Weird.
Which is really, really good, and you could get a new PlayStation 2.
Interesting.
PSP.
Cool.
Yay!
I'll save my other link for later.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, that's our geek.
Thanks for wasting yet another hour in some change of your life. You know,
we're going to rein it back.
Thank you for letting us into your home and your car.
We're going to rein it back next time. We'll do two topics next time. Be quicker on our news topics so we don't do a half hour of that 40 minutes, actually, of news.
And we'll do it, even if we have to wrestle Peter to the ground.
Yes. Okay. So, excellent. Everybody, have a good week. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Be well.
Thank you.